Now get everybody in this house to shout Jesus. Jesus. Every voice in this house, raise his name up. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. Of things in heaven, every angel. Of things on the earth, every sickness, disease, COVID, and cancer. Things beneath the earth, every devil of hell, every demon of hell, and the devil himself of hell. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord of lords and King of kings to the glory of God the Father. Let somebody shout his name and find victory today. Lord, you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy. I feel him, I feel him. God's here to deliver. He will set you free. He will break every bind and power, every force, every sickness. He will heal. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I posted this morning earlier. I don't post often on Sunday morning, but I felt like God breathed this into me. Very simple. He said, your greatest responsibility today is to bring his presence with you and embrace him among his people. You lead others in. It's not your talent, perfection, or ability. It's his presence. When he is in our midst, excellence is here, and his glory changes lives forever and forever. Do you believe that? I know the joy of the Lord is my strength and my help, and I can't help but get excited about who he is and what he is. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, bless his holy name, bless his holy name. Let every hand be put together today. Clap your hands and give him a thundering ovation for who he is. God, you're worthy, God, you're worthy. I've heard two words in the last 10 minutes, thunder and lightning, thunder and lightning. He will move like thunder and he will touch you as fast as lightning if you will acknowledge him today and call upon that name. God, we praise you and invite you in. Lord, you're worthy. Do you love him with all of your heart? Slap somebody a high five and tell them God is good all the time. Come on, lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Tell somebody, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. I can't praise him enough. I can't praise him enough. I can't thank him enough. He's good. Well, I feel like I have a word for Summit and Church this morning. I feel like that... God has dealt with me. I almost skipped over it, and he took me back to the Old Testament, to Exodus chapter 2. If you're keeping up, you're probably not. I felt when we initiated, instigated, and led our students and teachers back into the school year that God spoke a word into my heart. That word was launch. And what might have been a one-week message is now a third-week message. And I want to share this with you today. The subject, there is none. There's no room in my boat. And if there's no room in your boat, that has to change. If there's no room in your boat, God has to transform you and change your mind and change your heart and change your soul. If you've been sailing in a one-person boat for 40 years, you've been in the wrong stream, the wrong river, and the wrong ocean, the wrong sea. Because God expects us to expand and to make room in our boat for the kingdom of God to come to fruition. And sometimes it means tearing down walls and changing traditions and changing things in order to move forward and to embrace him for who he is right here and right now. If you're willing to let God have your boat, would you lift your hands right now and would you just tell him, God, make room in my boat for others. God, make room in my boat for you. That God, I am ready to hear what it is. I'm going to say this over you today. I'm going to speak this over Summit. We are on the precipice of something that is outstanding, something that is grand. And for the first time, I'm really believing strongly what our theme has been for over a year, that greater is coming. It's up to you and it's up to me. It's up to us together to embrace God for who He is and to open our soul and our mind and our heart to believe that God wants to do the incredible in our midst. Do you believe that with all of your heart today? I believe it. I believe that He's speaking it to us. I've watched one other church in my life that for an entire year, God spoke and told the church, I'm moving, I'm getting ready to do the incredible. And I watched that church turn their back on what God was trying to do. One time in my life, I've seen it manifested visibly, so strong for a year. And people get lost in the wrong subjects and the wrong thing and the wrong frame of mind, and they blew what God was trying to do. Don't do it. Let's seek Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and embrace what God. There's a spirit of God's in this house today. The power of God's in this house today. All you have to do is reach up and touch Him. I promise you He'll touch you back. Exodus 2, verse 2. So the woman conceived. She conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that Moses was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. Hid him. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for Moses. She daubed it with asphalt and pitch. And she put the fair child into that ark. And she laid it in the reeds or the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done unto Moses. And then the daughter of Pharaoh, the enemy, the hater of God's people, came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark, you're here, God. Be an ark for somebody today. When she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And the word tells us that Pharaoh's daughter took Moses, who was supposed to be dead, and turns around and unknowingly hands him back to his real mother, Jochebed. And she will nurse him as her own child. God's got a sense of humor. And God's got a way of taking every screwed up plan the enemy had for your life and turning it around. He'll make the enemy bless you in order to bring his purposes to pass. My God. Y'all go. If you're going, just go. Will you pray with me this morning? Lift your hands toward me and toward heaven. Will you pray for me? God, give me anointing. God, grant unto me favor. Give me the word of your spirit, God. You know that everything I do and say is beyond my own character, my own norm, my own ability. I pray today that there would be authority in every word, that there would be power to move mountains and shake souls, that God, lives could be changed forever in this very house, that God, you would anoint the generation to come, that you would empower them with great favor, and that you would open every door and part every sea. God, give them ministry and wisdom and great glory to share the hope in the word of Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Love somebody. Turn to someone before you're seated. Embrace them. Put a bear hug on them. Make them uncomfortable if you can. Just really love somebody.
Y'all are a good looking group. Listen, this story is important. You'll wonder, where in the world is he going with this? You may or may not know that side blotched lizards come in three different color versions or morphs. The three morphs have different but equally successful, listen to what I'm, mating strategies that play out in a courtship version like rock, paper, scissors. I'm a little loud. Just bring me down a little bit. Orange-throated males or scissors are aggressive and they cut out blue-throated males, which represent paper. They prefer to stand guard over their mates, their wives, their companions. Yellow-throated males, orange, blue, yellow, they are the rock. They sneak onto other male turf by acting like females. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm just going to leave that right there. I can't make this stuff up. And they are put under wraps by the blue throats, but they successfully crush the roving orange-throated males. So it is that baby production or reproduction inside blotched lizards has its own slowing mechanism. Pharaoh has made life bitter for the Israelites. They are in captivity. They are God's people in captivity. It seems as though he is coming at Israel from every direction. If the rocks don't work, he hits them with scissors. But God is blessing the seed of Israel so quickly and so rapidly that Pharaoh himself understands that the only way to slow them down, to slow them down, to slow them down. Some people, I'm just going to say it, they don't care if they slow the church down as long as it speeds up their agenda. It seems as though he is coming at Israel with all that he has. And if he doesn't slow them down, he must slow them down and he must eliminate male babies at birth. Though Pharaoh's kingdom is great, his boat and his vision is small. His boat has no room because in order for him to shine, he has to cut someone else out. He has to slow someone else's birthing mechanism. He is the orange-throated lizard. He is the scissors that cut. Hear what I'm telling you. The enemy's plan is to slow you down individually, but know this with all that you are today. His greatest plan is to slow the church down collectively because he knows that he can never outproduce what the church has already been called to birth. He can never slow down what the church has been already called to carry forth. Why? Because you can birth faster in the spirit than what Satan can slow down in the flesh. I'm going to say it again. You can birth faster in the spirit than what God, what the enemy, what Satan can slow down in the flesh. Anything that brings glory in this church or any church will happen through the Spirit of God and not through the flesh of man. So the women of Israel are stronger physically, spiritually, than the women of Egypt. And so the Egyptian women, the Israelite women, midwives are sent to take care of the babies, to destroy the babies when they are born. But the Israelite women are producing so quickly that the midwives cannot get there before the babies are born. The Israelite women are popping babies out like a Pez dispenser. How many of you have been around long enough to know what a Pez dispenser? I started to put a picture up. I said, no. I need to tell you, I believe Suzanne, I've had a word from God this way, and I don't say that lightly. Kelly knows. Everybody that says that every week and all the time, I'm not so sure that's not their own version of what a word is. But I felt like God spoke to me, and he said to tell you, I need to tell you that God is ready to burst some new things out of Summerton. We have an incredible reputation. We have an incredible past. But that God's getting ready to burst some things unknown. And now, but you cannot waste God's time playing rock, paper, scissor games. So you bear with me. If it's not my best Sunday, you pray for me. I'll do better next week. I didn't get this out of a book, except the book. And so while Pharaoh is cursing the midwives, the help agent to the enemy, God is blessing them instead. The very agent the enemy sent to destroy you, God in turn is going to turn their hearts while he is blessing you. Did you hear me? The very thing you think that came to destroy you, God is going to give someone in this house favor, and God's going to use them to bless you in the process. I felt like God said to tell you that God is going to give you strength to birth some things you know Satan has tried to kill in your life, Sarah Glover, in your life. I won't tell your age, you do, and that's fine. But God said, I'm ready to birth some things out of you that you never saw coming. It looked like Moses' dad would never be born, that his life would never matter. Dennis Massey, but God took what looked like nothing, and in Moses, Brian, he birthed a something. As a matter of fact, get this, the one that Pharaoh tried to kill, his name is mentioned 813 times in Scripture. Jesus himself is mentioned 983 times. What a God we serve. When Dana, no one on the face of this earth knew who you were, God knew who you were. He knew that your name would be mentioned today. He knew your place in history. He knew your influence over those that are broken and abused and confused. And God's favor is on your life because he chose to give it. Satan's trying to curse your name, but God wants to bless it. People that even don't want to hear your name will talk about the glory of God tied to your name. People you don't even think know your name are about to speak it and declare it. So you keep telling yourself, there's no call, there's no rhyme or reason to my life, if you want to. But Amram, Moses' father, and Jochebed, his mother, they made little Moses. He was conceived and he was birthed, and they hid him anyway because she knew there was something on his life when he didn't have the capacity to know there was a call from God himself. Aren't you thankful that God hid you when you didn't have enough sense to know that his hand was on you? Amen. Wayne, his hand is on you. No one else has to touch you. No one else has to call your name. God knows your name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, same river, same storm. And so she hides Moses for 3 months. And Jochebed, mom, can no longer hide him. Jochebed can no longer hide him. I want to declare this morning, this is about a launch. Cheryl Capps, you have influence, undeniable, unbelievable influence. Bruce, I have seen the call and the hand of God on your life and in action the last couple of months. Favor has come your way, and favor will come our way. Favor will be on our church, and favor will be on our school. We are His church, we are His school, we are His people, and we are collectively trying to lift up Him. Amen? There is a generation being birthed. There is a generation coming on strong. You cannot hide them. Well, I don't know about this generation. I'm just concerned about this generation. Listen, this is not the generation that I am concerned about when they stand before God. Amen. Micah, come with me. Come help me. Millicent, come help me. God's favor are on some young lives. God's favor and His hand are on these two and others. And I'm telling you today, hell is afraid of them. Hell is afraid of the power of God. Hey, God still reigns on the throne. The Christ is still seated at His right hand. There is power and authority in His name. There is anointing that rests upon them. There is favor and there is power and great glory. You don't need to fear what's coming on this generation, because God still has His hand on their lives, and He's doing the incredible and the unthinkable, and they will speak His word and they will glorify Him. She hid him because there was favor on his life. And some people, all you'd hide is what God wants to do in their lives. All you hide is the power and the glory and vain glory and self-deceit and self-promotion. God said, if I can get you to lift up Jesus, I'll raise Jesus up in their life. I'll hide the deep seed of my spirit in the depths of their soul, and they will live with authority and great glory and great power. Moses is a problem because Moses is a deliverer. Do you know why they're creating problems for hell? Because they don't need a title to worship God. Do you know why hell fears them? Because they don't need a door plaque on their door to describe and define who they are in Christ Jesus. They're not after earthly glory. They're not after an earthly story to tell. They are pursuing heaven and the glory of God with all that they are and all that they can do. Moses is a problem because he is a deliverer. And if the older generation doesn't see him return, this is the generation that will. And don't you think for a minute God is going to leave the generation that will witness his return, that he's going to leave them powerless or without authority or without the manifest glory of his presence in there with God. Listen, Moses is a problem because he's a deliverer, and Moses will never go back to Egypt. Ever. When they grumbled and they complained against Moses, let's go back. At least we had better food there. We had better accommodations there. It must have been better, better, better. And Moses said, you do what you want to do, but I've heard the voice of God. I've seen his glory on the hill. I know who he is. And even though we're out here in a desert, God is going to open a door in the desert. He needs a boat. His mother is going to place him in the same river that's been used to eliminate other male babies. You thought you had to fail because everyone else failed in your family. You thought you would fail because no one else made it out alive in your family. You thought you would die because others died. Can I just stop and tell you this morning that favor is not fair? I don't know how much Amram and Jochebed loved God, but I find in his word now how much God loved Amram and Jochebed. He loves you. He created you. There is room in your bow for God to do what it is he's called. I don't always understand why God puts us in the same storm that he puts others through. But when everyone else chooses to be like everyone else, drown like everyone else, jump overboard like everyone else, idolize Egypt like everyone else, there's a fighter in me and a fighter in you that says if no one else gets out of this storm alive, I'm not quitting, I'm not done yet. There's a Moses in me and God has something for me. It may have been a storm for everyone else, but even in the storm, God has plans to get me out when it looks like there's no way out. Whew. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that's not much of a boat. Not much of a boat. So Jochebed builds a little ark out of bulrushes. Noah built an ark. Jesus, Brandon Myers, became the ark for eternity. Moses was already a type and shadow of who the Christ, the King of Glory, would be hundreds of years later. She made it with slime and with pitch. It's not destined for distant shores, it would seem. It's as though it really has nowhere to even go. It will be lost among 15-foot-high papyrus reeds in the river. It will sit in nothing more than the shallow depths of marsh water. However, because I can look back where Moses could not see forward, I understand that a Red Sea is still coming. And so while it may seem like he's hidden in the papyrus reeds and he has nowhere to go, we know that one day God's voice will speak and he will miraculously part the waters of the Red Sea as an escape route from the very Egyptians and the Pharaoh that has desired to keep them captive. I'm telling you today, if God's anointing and God's favor is, lift your hands. God's favor and his anointing is on your life. I've sensed it more than once. I've sensed it more than twice. God knows his favor is on your life. He knows the sacrifices that you're making. He knows what you're laying down. He knows what you're putting to the side. He knows that you want more of him and more of him and more of him. And God said, what seemed like a basket in a bulrush, I'm about to turn into a sea that will part, and my favor will continue to rest upon your life. Lift your hands in this house and praise him. Praise him with authority. Praise him like you mean it. Praise him because he's watching. Speaking to somebody in this house, you think you've been in a little Joey O'Neill, you've been in a little ark in the bulrushes for a long time. God said, I'm setting you up that the Red Sea is coming. Miracles unbeknownst to you lay on the horizon. It's yours to receive. I asked you to lift your hands up earlier to pray over the people. I want you to lift your hands up right now and receive from God. Hey, yeah. Moshe kehet, basatahai, biradadamahai. Lord, I'm a cosita la basha, la basi, and la baha. Let the glory of the Lord be present. Let the glory of the Lord be praised. Worship him today. He's sure not much to look at. How can he know what he's doing in that little ark? There's only a capacity for one. No one else will even ride with him. There are no celebrations when Moses is launched. Probably, I want to tell you something. God just brought it back early in the service. I thought about it. I've known who you were. I've known who Summerton was all my life. I know bits and pieces, portions of history. I know about the glory years when God, I believe we're in the glory years now. There were times you didn't know who I was. You thought, who's that guy? We don't even know his name. We've had to wait 6 months for this. Wayne, you're laughing a little too loud. Just a little bit too loud. When I couldn't see you, and you couldn't see me, God's been watching us our entire lives. And he's the point that meets in the middle. And when man couldn't do it, I believe God was watching and God knew. And God already had a plan. He prepared for us to meet in the middle. And what he has now for us is because of his divine glory and his divine favor. And it's not because you're incredible. And it's not because I'm incredible. It's because he is forever incredible. Yes! He heals babies. He restores babies. He puts health back in babies. He is our God. He is awesome. And he is worthy to be praised. It would seem, says the Lord, that there are no celebrations. There has been no fanfare. Your name has not been spoken aloud, but I tell you this day that I am watching. I see you, and my favor rests upon your life. I will heal and make whole. Your hands are my instrument. I will work through your hands for healing. I will speak through your voice unto salvation. I tell you this day, I see you, I hear you where you are, and I will honor you with my favor. Prepare for it. Make yourself ready, for it is truth, and I will visit you, says the Lord. If that's you, stand up where you are. If that's you, stand up where you are. Lift your hands toward heaven and receive it right now. Extend your hand, says the Lord, and I will take it. Extend your heart, and I will bless it. I will lead you in the way that is right. I will lead you in the way that I have ordered for you. Your steps are ordered by me. This day, says the Lord, walk in my authority. Trust me. Speak not to condemn it. Speak not to curse it. Let me be God, and I will order your steps. He's here. I'm telling you, God knows he's here today. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands and praise him. If you'd say this morning, I'm speaking to the body, you'd say, Pastor, today I don't need a celebration. I don't need any trumpet blast. I don't need broken champagne bottles. It may feel like a lonely launch, but today I'm trusting God, and I believe that God's here. I want you to come meet me as fast as you can. Come stand in this altar. Come stand in this altar as fast as you can. Young people, old people, whatever your age, whoever you may be. I don't need a broken champagne bottle. I want to tell you, I don't know what the future holds, and I don't know what God's about to do, but I started not to say anything out loud, but I'm telling you, right now, this is where God has us. And I'm thankful that you and Erica are willing to step in and work as much as you possibly can with our people, carrying on a full-time career and job and opportunity as well. And if I, listen, he may not have every note right when he comes in here. The band may not be as tight as it used to be. We've only been doing this for 3 weeks, my God. But if I believe anything, when you walk through the doors of this building and you step on this stage, as I do about many others, I believe God's anointing and favor and power rest on your life. So you can be Moses, you can be Noah, you can be whoever God called you to be, but just be, just be, just be. Anya, same thing. Every vocalist, every singer, every instrumentalist. John, these guys don't get a lot of, I appreciate what you and Ken do every Sunday. Appreciate it. Love you. Thank the world of you. Just as important as any of you've got your own ark, you've got your own bull rush, you've got. I tell you, sometimes when no one else will launch you, Whitney, you have to launch yourself. Sometimes when it seems like no one else is watching, God, I'm listening to your voice and I hear you, God. When I can't hear anyone else. There's no applause. There's no. I'm reminded of a scripture in Hebrews 11:23, where the word said, by faith, Moses was hid by his parents. Let me tell you what Jochebed knew, Jim. She knew that it was her responsibility to preserve the coming generation. And she hid him at potentially the cost of her own life. The woman, I'm trying to think of her name, Libby Jackson. She manages the UK Space Agency's educational and outreach program. When she was 17 years old, she wrote NASA, Brenda, and she said, could I come in and could I shadow your leaders for 2 weeks? She's 17. Any 17-year-olds, if you're 17, raise your hand. Can I come in and watch your leadership for 2 weeks? She was amazed. They said, yes, come on. And she went in there and she shadowed and followed and learned from for 2 weeks what NASA was all about. I'm telling you today, all some of our kids want to hear from you, and this older generation is not about how great you are. They want to hear the word yes. They want to hear the word yes. That I care about you now. I embrace, and I will hide. I will hide you. I will do whatever the price is that I'm going to pay. I will hide you. Because God's favor and God's hand, am I making any sense this morning? God's power is on your life. And so this is my question now. My concern now is this. What if, come on. What if this young lady, what if I assign her to someone that's standing in this altar, or someone in this altar volunteers, and she's going to shadow you for 2 weeks. She's going to follow you. What if she had been following you the last, come on, I just like walking y'all around. What if she had been shadowing you for the last 2 weeks? What if she had been following you and listening to you? What if she's going to follow you the next 2 weeks? Men, women, what will she hear? Well, if she could read your mind and she could sense every thought and she could feel your heartbeat, what is it she would feel and she would know and she would understand? Even if you cover it up real well and she could read the depths of who you are in Christ Jesus, what would she hear and what would? I want somebody, Sarah, that's going to speak into my life and say, hey, we're going to make it through this thing. Mark, I want somebody in my life that says, hey, we've got this together. My dad pastored here for 19 years. I told him today, I walked by him and said, man, that look right there, you look just like your dad. By the way, Brother Lane will be speaking for us on Wednesday night. That guy in a year and a half, him and Miss Judy, they have spoken positivity. They have spoken into our lives. Every little bit, hey, you want to go to lunch today? I'm sure. And they speak positively over this church and over this body and over you. And I want to tell you, God, convict my own heart, convict my body. If these kids spend some time with me, I want to be out of this pulpit what I claim to be when I'm in it. And we have got, you know me by now. I believe in excellence. I try to look decent and not embarrass you. Sunday. Kelly always looks beautiful. Brownie points. And we feel like everything that we're trying to do is because we want it to be good. But most of all, we want it to be God. I believe in you. I trust you. Shane, God wants to use you. You can connect with some of our young men and lead them in a way that is godly, in a way that is right. I want to tell you something. We were praying in this altar Wednesday night, and I walked by. When I got close, I started on this side, and when I got over there, I took Jim Dodd by the hand. And I want to tell you, this man prayed in the power of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that was in him. He prayed with glory. I mean, it shook me, I believe, and I believe it shook heaven. Hey! I was going, where's Micah? Come here, Micah. Hurry. I want somebody that's a little bit older in years. I'm not talking about our youth sponsors and lead. I need a godly man in this house that'll say, I'll take the next 90 days. It doesn't have to be every week, but I'll take this young man and I'll pour into him. I'll have lunch or dinner with him every 2 or 3 weeks. I'll take him to lunch. Thank you, Bob. Come here, you. Come here, trouble. Can I get another godly man that'll say, besides his mom and dad, I'll take this young man in the next 90 days. Come on, I need somebody that'll step up. I'll take him to lunch or I'll take him to dinner. I'll invest in his life for at least the next 90 days. Oh, say, la la la, glory, la la la, Abby, come here, Abby. Give me, okay, I need a godly woman, a godly lady that'll say for the next, let's do it down here so they don't have to come up so far. Say, I'll take this young lady, I'll pour in life. Everything I do in these next 90 days, I'll do my best to hide the goodness of God in their hearts, the goodness of God in their lives. Maybe I don't have to call you. Maybe you'll just volunteer after service. You'll take one of these young men or women. Pastor Philip will help set us up. Let me ask you this. Can I be so bold? The Word of God tells us about a double portion. Can I get one more woman that would come join these two that will say, I will invest in Abby's life? Can I get one more? The next 90 days, can I get one more? Surely there's one godly woman in the house that will come help Miss Jan. Anybody? Thank you, Karen. One more man that will help invest with Brother Jim in this young man's life. Can I get one more? Can I get one? Mark, thank you. One more with this young man right here. A double portion. God bless you, Justin. Hallelujah. I believe Jamie Pounders with all of my heart that God speaks to us and that this is a God message. This is a God time this morning, if ever there was one. And you know what I need more than anything from you, more than vocal ability, more than your preaching, more than your singing, more than your money, more than anything. I need you to say, Pastor, I am willing to make room in my boat for someone else. When I don't understand and I don't have all the answers and it's not everything that I like and it's not always my way, but I'll make room in my boat even for what I don't understand as long as I know it's God. If you'll make room in your boat, your mind will change, your attitude will change. My God, He'll fill this house to capacity. We'll have to have two services on Sunday. Would you bow your heads? Father, I love you today. I pray for your blessing on your people. I pray, God, today that our destiny, the destiny of your call, will be bigger than the density of our boat. That God, you will rest upon us. That we're willing to pay the price, not only for us to be launched, but for others to be launched. That God, we are concerned about our community. We're concerned, we're willing to invest in small groups. We're willing to invest in discipleship. And to be as consumed with teaching the Word and living the Word as we are in worship to the Word. In the mighty name of Jesus, listen to what I'm telling you today. It was Kevin Karulas, an executive with SpaceX rocket systems, that said it takes $28 million to launch a rocket. And it may just be today, whether you believe it or not, because of the price that has already been paid by Brother Sargent and Victor and Brother Taylor and Toby and on and on and on, Hawkins Smith. I'm still learning names. We have a firm foundation, and God has been good. But I believe that at some point, sometime, that God transitions us from boats to rockets. And you have to be willing to take that next step. So my question today is, it's good to say amen, and it's good to take them to lunch, but are we willing to pay the price to really take off? And if we are, we'll have to lay some things down, because when you pay a price, there's some money that has to come out of your pocket, and there's some investment that has to be made. Time has to be, you have to make time for God. you'll make time, he'll launch us like never before. And we all become a part of the glory. Amen. I do love you today. I'm so thankful for you. There's so much I didn't get to, but I think I got to the right parts. Man. Philip, where are you? Come and say what you will and take us home this morning.
Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you so much for the word that has gone out today, Lord. The word that is proclaimed inside the house. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, that as your word is proclaimed, Lord, it speaks freedom to captives, Lord Jesus. People who are bound up, Lord, can experience freedom because according to your word, when we hear truth, when we know the truth will set us free. Father God, I thank you that we know the cost. That you're showing us the cost, Father God, and that we'll say yes. We'll say yes to what you're saying. We'll say yes to your word, Lord, even if it's difficult, even if it's hard, Lord, we'll say yes to you, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.